next week, I'm still thinking about it, but there's a couple of sermons brewing. Really, really strong. Where'd the clicker go? Oh, there's the clicker. That would have been funny, Keith. That would just get me back for Eddie, because Eddie come here one day and he had his camcorder up there, and he set it back there somewhere. I picked it up and held it in my hand, and Eddie said, "I can't find my camcorder." I said, "Well, I'll help you look for it." And I got it in my hand. We're walking all around, looking everywhere. He said, "It could have been over here." And I said, "Well, maybe. Where's the last place you put it?" And we walked around for 5 minutes. And finally I went, "Eddie." So that, as you see, you reap what you sow. Amen. God's good. Now we're going to talk about the power of wounds, but the next couple of weeks, again, nothing's been started. It's all in my mind, which that's scary too. But next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about some really deep emotional things, because people don't understand. They get so tied up. When you start talking about emotions, they get so tied up and think that you're trying to do all kinds of psychoanalyzing and stuff on people. And no, not at all. Matter of fact, it's just telling you that there's some stuff that goes on in all of our lives that clogs it up. You know, like sometimes when a washing machine, back in the day, I remember going when I was working at Lee's TV and Western Auto in Alliance, and I went with Walter Chance, and we were working on a washing machine, and it wouldn't spin. And we looked, and it wasn't the lid switch, and it wasn't this and that. We couldn't find anything physically jumping out at us. And he asked the lady, said, "Do you have small children?" She said, "Yes, I do." She said, "Well, more than likely, you got a sock. It's jumped over the tub and gone down inside, and it's gone in the hole, because there's nothing small enough to take it. It's a little sock from the kid. And that's your problem." And she says, "Well, come to think about it, I'm missing a few socks." And so we had to go through that big old process of draining the tub so we could get up in it, take it out, and look. And sure enough, there were some socks, little itty-bitty socks in the drain hose. So something you would, as a matter of fact, it was so insignificant, she just thought they had just got lost. She didn't even worry about it. She didn't even thought twice about those socks being missing. But those little bitty socks were just stopping her from getting her load done, getting stuff done. In the same way, the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Because whatever you put up to keep the big foxes out, they'll send the little bit of small foxes in, and they'll take care of it. Because whatever you put up, you got to be extra careful, because they'll go past it. So, again, the next couple of weeks, we're going to do some, I reckon you could say, emotional inventory on how we're going to grow in God. Because it's going to be all Bible, but still, there's some stuff, that junk that we carry around in us, that if we don't get it out of us, it'll kill us, but while we're dying, we're going to blame everybody else. Wow. You heard that joke? Not a joke, but it's like bitterness and anger and having unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison. You drinking it and expecting the rat to die. Okay, there's some stuff in us clogging us. The Lord's been dealing with me a lot about this lately. So there's, like I said, there's two ways. And I'm about to divide up at least two sermons, but it's going to be about that. And honestly, if you know somebody that's really having a hard time and you hear a lot of blame and self-blame and you're hearing them all kinds of ways, I know it's hard to get them in church sometimes, but if nothing else, get the outlines and get them to turn it on YouTube and look at it, but give them the outlines so they can see it, because there's going to be some deliverance, some awesome deliverance if you take the necessary steps to get the socks out of your drain hose. Right? All right. Y'all are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. All right. Ain't God good? I say it all the time. You know, Mama, and I know it's not Mama's Day now, but I was thinking about my Mama. Mama's been dead now since 97. And so this is one of those anniversary years, big anniversaries. And so, you know, I was out there looking out there, and I thought about my Mama, and somebody talked to my Mama one time. And before my sister came along, it was just me and my brothers. I was the oldest, and I had a set of twin brothers. And we fought from the time we got up to the time we went to sleep at night. We fought all the time. Now, once we got to be teenagers, we kept fighting. We haven't fought. I can't think of hardly any time we've even fought since us being teenagers. We've had a couple of heated discussions, but never fighting, okay? But we used to fight like cats and dogs, and Mama just drove her crazy. We just fought all the time. My uncle was my school bus driver, and he pulled me off to the side one day and said, "Do I need to tell your mama about you and your brothers fighting on this bus every day?" If he just said, "Stop fighting," it wouldn't have been anything. He said, "Do I need to tell your mama?" And I said to my uncle, "No, sir." He said, "Well, if you do it again, I'm going to tell your mama. Do you understand?" "Yes, sir." So at least we kept fighting on the bus for about a week. All right. So they asked Mama, they said, we were fighting one day, and they asked my Mama, said whether or not she would have, if she had to do it all over again, would she still have kids? I was listening to hear what she had to say. Mama said, "Sure." She said, "But not the same ones." Yeah, Mama had a way of putting it there. Yeah. All right. Power of our wounds. Now, today is Memorial Day, or we're celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow, but Memorial Day, Veterans Day, we just celebrate the veterans, period. But Memorial Day goes a little deeper because, you know, and every year I'll put up all the statistics and all that, and this year I said, you know what, they see it every year, and sometimes we just grow calloused to the stuff we see. And so just want to just explain something to you. That there's countless millions over the years of people that have died. If you got Mighty Army this morning, I said, "Lord, I need something for Mighty Army for Memorial Day," and then it came to me. Thank God for those that gave all to give us the opportunity to give it our all. Wow. And I was watching on television, and it was I think it was Cherry Point. I never heard exactly where it was, Cherry Point, or whether it was Cherry Point or Jacksonville, but close to the base, they were coming up in every 4 yards, they were putting a set of combat boots and flags every 4 yards, representing the people that had died in the service and some had just served. And they ran out of boots, and somebody else came up and brought another truckload of boots. So they could put up and show, and they had tags and the people's name of all that had served along the way, and it's just a powerful thought. So my thing is today is I just want to say, let's make sure that we don't take our freedom lightly that we have. Matter of fact, I think we take it very lightly. I heard on how many ever saw Saving Private Ryan. Well, if you want to see something from World War II, that's probably one that says one of the most realistic representations of World War II, and it actually was therapeutic for a lot of the guys that were suffering from PTSD, and therapeutic for their families to be able to see what they went through, because too many people glamorized World War II, and it was not glamour at all. But what I was going to say is, at the end, when Tom Hanks was dying, Tom Hanks said to Private Ryan, after all the guys that went to save him, but one or two guys out of the seven that went to save him died. So as he's dying, he pulls Private Ryan down, and in his last breath, he says, "Earn this." Now, some of the liberals have gotten very upset about that and said that that was nothing more than a ploy to make people feel bad and to make Private Ryan feel bad. I don't think so. I think what he was trying to say, he only had a few words he could say, he was dying, was there was a lot of effort and a lot of pain put in to what was brought to liberate you. Now take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Okay, so the same way, like that this morning, so many people have died for us, so we shouldn't be taking this so lightly. Take advantage of the freedom that has been given to us because these young men stood and fought for us. And with all this, when we think about Memorial Day, there's one thing we don't think about. When we think about their sacrifice, one thing that I found myself not really thinking about like I should is all of the orphans of these people and all the families that were hurt because they had to go through pain of losing their loved ones, but only go through the pain knowing how they died, made it even worse. Some guys were shipped back, and they were only shipped back little bitty boxes of pieces of them, you know, because there was not anything left of them, but just a dog tag and maybe something, whatever. But I was going to say is, in all of this, there's pain brought by that sacrifice. So the same way, today, the power of our wounds. A lot of us are hurting. And we don't realize that in our hurt, God's going to take that hurt because he sent his son who gave the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, and showed us how his wounds, we talk about how the cross gives us life and how the cross gives us new life and how we don't have to walk in the oldness, but we can walk in newness. But we sometimes don't realize that Jesus tried to show us a little bit deeper how to handle and what our wounds do for other people. So let's get our Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the word. Turn to John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 19. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say on me. I remember now, in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be some intensive spiritual therapy. So please, bring somebody with you. Please bring them. Don't tell them, okay, we're going to have intensive spiritual therapy. You need to come. No, just say, hey, come on to church with me. All right, don't scare them off. You know, y'all come up here, we're gonna put a big light on your head, and we're going to sit you down in front of everybody, and we're going to go, no. All right. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And he said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. There were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. See, he had to say it twice. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even I so send you. And when he had seen this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well. You're on the throne. You are doing something special in our lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that, Father, this is not a sprint, but this is a marathon. And I know, God, that a lot of times we get upset when we don't see the progress we expect. But we got to understand that this progress is inward first, then it's outward. It's got to be inward first. If it's not inward first, then outward's going to be empty. I ask you right now to touch us, to lift us up, to strengthen us, and help us to see that our wounds are very powerful and that they have a meaning, and that's why God allowed it, so that we can help others. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So just two or three slides from last week, and then we're going into this week. Now, it was a time of crisis because it was soon after the cross, and it was still fresh in their minds what had happened. They still remember the pain. They remember what Jesus was going through. They remember all the stuff that they saw, and it was really, really some bad stuff that they had going on around them. Can you imagine? You know, look at this. Jesus was, and this probably, they said that when Mel Gibson made this movie, he went and researched it. And in the research I've done, it was right on the money, but they said that Mel Gibson actually had it worse. And they asked him, could he tone it down a little bit? How many saw The Passion? That's the toned down version. Wow. So they'd seen all this, you know, and it's easy for us to armchair quarterback. It's easy for us to sit back and see things and think, you know, wow, man, if I'd have done it, here's how I would do it. If this was me, I try my best not to say if that was me, because it ain't me. Amen? You know, when you're going through something, you process it through the filter of your mind, through your experience, through your experience with God, your experience with people, your experience with your spouse, whatever. I was talking with a guy the other day that was a counselor, and we were talking back and forth, and he said, well, how is it that you talk to people? And I said, I asked him right to start with, what is their goals and what are they wanting to do? Because there's so many ways they can go. And he said, I have to tell me their goal, then we shoot for that goal. And he said, that's the best way to do it because everybody is so different. We've got all kinds of different makeups within us. So the crisis is still fresh in their minds. They're still being hunted. And it's just played over and over and over again in their heads. Some of y'all in here right now, there's things that's happened in your life, and every day you get up, it's played over and over and over again in your head. Maybe it's something you did, and it's played over and over and over again in your head. And that there's a terror there, and it keeps you on alert. You're on high alert. You can't even relax because all this is going on, this pain is going on inside of you. And these guys here, their hope was shattered. They still had questions. This is not what we expected, Jesus. This is not what we signed up for. You know, I think I told you last week I had a friend of DC and Daniels that signed in. He got into the Navy. And I said, why are you joining the Navy? He said, well, the recruiter told me how great it was. I said, the recruiter. He said, yeah, the recruiter told me I was going to get a free education. I said, yeah, you are. But it ain't going to be free. And so he comes to me a month or two later after he'd been in the service, and he was crying, literally crying. And I said, what is wrong? He said, they're going to ship me to the Persian Gulf. And I said, you signed a dotted line that you were theirs and you were going to do what they asked you to do. He said, yeah, but I only signed up in education. I said, get your pen and pencil out. You're getting ready to get one. Okay, so again, here they are. They're behind locked doors. Their motivating factor is fear. And there's a place where there's fear in our lives, and that fear becomes a phobia. When the fear becomes a phobia, now it's exaggerated so big in your eyes that even, like I said, a small acorn now looks like an oak tree. I see people every day. They come to me, and they got the little acorn, and all they can see is the oak tree, and I'm seeing the acorn. And so my job as a counselor is to help them bring that oak tree, cut that oak tree down, and see it as an acorn. And there's times in my own life I have to stop and tell myself, David, this is not an oak tree. This is an acorn. Some of y'all ought to practice that. This is not an oak tree. This is an acorn. And how you know that? Because if somebody comes in and says, if you got people coming around you saying, why are you so worried about that? Blah, 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 blah. And they go, if you only knew. And they go, well, I do know. But you see, you're seeing the acorn. You're seeing the oak tree. More than likely, if everybody else is seeing an acorn, it is an acorn. Ask God to help you take the oak tree, chop it down, and look at and deal with the oak. So here's fear's reaction. It was actually a secondary emotion of what's going on. They were disoriented. They misunderstood his words. They were depressed. They had unmet expectations. They were desperate, and they needed answers. Here's the last slide from last week, and we're going brand new. So here they are. They're behind these locked doors. They're hiding behind locked doors. Their faith, in order to help them now, had to be active. Right now, if you're going through something, if you've got an oak tree in your path that's actually an acorn, and you're trying to figure out how in the world can I make this oak tree chop it down and bring it to the size of the acorn so we can do something with it, I can move an acorn. I can't move an oak tree. We can move an acorn. I can put an acorn in my pocket, and I can carry it to a trash can and throw it in the trash can. I can't pick up a great big oak tree. So again, how do I make that oak tree into an acorn? They moved from faith attacking their situation to the situation attacking their faith. So Jesus is going to use this. Jesus used every opportunity. He was around his guys. Every opportunity he used as a teaching situation. So here he is. Now get ready. Here's where we left off last week. We're starting fresh today. Number one, our wounds. This was the last thing I told you last week. Our wounds propel our message. How many here's ever been hurt? If you've been hurt, you've got a message. How many got hurt and it was your own fault? I still have a message. How many been here has been hurt trying to help somebody else? How many times were you collateral damage? Meaning you just happened to be in the wrong place at the right time and you got hit. and now you're suffering for it. Okay, let me tell you something. Your mess, God wants to turn into a message. And here's how he does it. Now watch this. So watch. Now here he comes. He comes in these locked doors, and it shows his power, because behind these locked doors, he says, he's showing now, I can move beyond the barriers that you have built in your life to keep out whatever you're afraid of. You see, we're bad about this. We'll build barriers up in a heartbeat. We get hurt by one person, or we get hurt by a second person. All of a sudden, nobody's allowed to come in because we're scared they're going to hurt us too. People get in relationships. They get hurt in a relationship, and they decide they're not going to go to another relationship. I've always heard if a cat climbs up on a stove and gets burnt, that cat will never get on another stove as long as it lives, on or off. It will never get back on that stove because it got burnt one time, and now every stove is a threat. The same thing with us. There's people in churches. They don't want to go to church because they got hurt. And they think, well, I'm not going to turn loose. If I turn loose, I'll get hurt again. There's people that serve God strong, and now they're not serving God strong because they said, I tried to serve him strong, but now I got hurt, and I'm not going to do it again. Your acorn, and I'm not belittling your acorn, but your acorn has become an oak tree. And the oak tree is blinding you. It's stopping you. You can't get by. You know, an elephant, have you ever looked at the circus and watched elephants? When elephants are being handled at the circus, if you go back behind the tent, that great, big, powerful elephant, ones that they use to climb the Alps and to win wars, and they use them to knock down houses and all kinds of things. They're held behind the tent by one ring around a back leg and one chain and a stop. That's it. That mighty elephant, that all he's got to do is watch. Is held by one band, one chain, and one stop in the ground. Whenever he moves, it gives him a little bit of resistance, so he stops. You know why? You know how they can do that? Because when that elephant is small, when the elephant can't do anything, they put the chain around his leg, the band and the chain, and they drive a stop in the ground that he cannot move. And so while he's little trying, he tries and he tries and he tries and he tries and he can't get loose. And so eventually he says, I'm going to quit trying because every time I try, I just get hurt. And so for the rest of his life, he's confined to that band on his leg, that chain, and that stop, not realizing when he's big and powerful, all he's got to do is just move his leg and he can walk. Because he's bound by memories, and because he's bound by memories of what happened before, The mighty little acorn has become a giant oak in his life. Some of us in here right now, I dare to say, some of us in here right now are just like that elephant. The memory of a past experience now has you bound, and you're trying to move, but every time you feel a little bit of tug, you stop. And God says, I want to use your wounds to help others, but I can't use your wounds to help others as long as you let that acorn stay an oak tree in your life. So here we go. So their plan was they weren't going to let anybody in. But you see what? They didn't have the power. Some of y'all right now, you're trying to keep people out. You're trying to keep situations out. But they keep coming. Why do they keep coming? Because you don't have the power to lock it all out. And so what happens is now your life becomes an assorted mess. And God says, let me change it. So watch this. Jesus comes in behind locked doors because nobody's got the power to keep Jesus out. Nobody. We ended last week on, you ever build the walls to try to keep the pain away, to keep the pain from coming back, but it also will keep your help away, but it won't keep Jesus out. So then he moved beyond their confusion. He stood in their midst. He didn't stand at the side. He stood in the midst. And that word stood literally means to renew covenant. To renew covenant. Jesus said, I know y'all guys, you're tore up, you're hurt, you're hid behind locked doors. You think that the covenant's gone. You think God can't use you anymore. You think because you're behind these locked doors, it's over, it's done. If you step out, they're going to kill you too. I'm here to tell you something right now. There is going to be a day where you might be killed. But you know what? Right now, you got a job to do, and God's going to take care of you while you do the job. So he stood in the midst He renewed his covenant with them, saying, it's not over. Don't put a stop sign up where there's only a speed bump. So now, so he stands in the midst of them, and he gives them a very, very clear message. Watch this. This is so awesome. There they are, those disciples. They're just so spellbound that they actually see him. So here it is. They move beyond. He moved them beyond their fear. He said, peace. They need calming. They needed somebody to calm them down. All they can see is that great big oak tree. And God's saying, hold on. I'm not belittling your pain. It hurts. But it is an acorn in the whole scheme of your life. It is not that mighty oak tree. So they need to calm them down. That word peace means, I love this word peace, because it means to bind together. It means literally, it's a medical term too. It means to set a break. How many of you ever had a broken bone? It hurt until they set it. Once they set it, it still had some pain, but not like the pain it had when it was broke. I had my collarbone broke completely in two. I remember how bad it was even trying to breathe, how bad it hurt. But once they put it in place, it felt a whole lot better. Of course, I didn't like the way they did it. The man stood up on the table, put his knee in my back, and grabbed my shoulders, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and I heard it go, snap! And he did that. He had to do that 7 times. By the 7th time, nowadays they do surgery. Back then, you know, back when Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, she's the one that fixed me. they just finally just said, deal with it. And so for the next week, I heard, when I breathe. Praise God. All right, so here we go. To fix a break. In other words, Jesus was going to make a positive impact in a very negative situation. He was first going to make a positive impact to them so that they can make a positive impact to others. Today, if your mind is consumed with negative, if all you can think about is your past pain and hurt, God wants you to move beyond that. Not to discard it, not to get rid of it, because he wants to use that past pain to help somebody else. Somebody else has needed it very, very badly. Remember I talked about it last week. You have the key to open somebody's door, whatever problem they're going through. If you've been through it, then you've got the key to get into that door. I may not have that key, but you may. So here we go. Here we go. First, it propels our ministry, our message. And then secondly, it's got the potential to bless others. You see, he was communicating to them. See, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. But up until this point, they're scared to death they're going to die. But he communicates to them and shows them, even if you die, there's something better on the other side. I'm alive. I'm well. Look at me. Feel the scars. I'm here. You take a man that is not afraid of anything, he's a dangerous man. You take somebody that you can't scare him with death, and he is a dangerous, dangerous man. You know, a lot of times we go in places, we do things around people, and it's some rough stuff. You know, I can't even believe some of the stuff that we have to go through that years ago was not even possible. And somebody says, don't you get scared? Well, yeah, I'm not going to be stupid. Yeah, I get scared sometimes. But I know that if something happens to me, there's something greater waiting on the other side. And so I'm not going to let it stop me. Fear is not going to stop me. And so, first he communicated to them, then he illuminated. You see, he shows them he's alive, and then he shows them the scars. You see, when people see your scars, I'm not talking about fresh wounds that you keep pulling back, we talked about last week, where you just keep pulling the Band-Aid back and keeping the wound fresh, and tell everybody, this is why I act the way I do, and this is why I don't do anything, is because look at here, and every time it starts to heal a little bit, you play with it so the wound will bleed again. So you've got an excuse not doing anything. You've got an excuse to hide, or Satan's got an excuse to keep you locked behind locked doors. But once it heals, you know, I kind of get a little chuckle out of this. That big old car wreck I had out here where the guys that hit me got killed, and then they went hit me, and then the girls that hit behind me, they went and got, both of them had back problems. One was a broke back, one was a sprained back, but I have an S I got hit on. I got an S. And I tell everybody, I just joke around and say, well, you know, I didn't know whether God said I was saved, I was safe, or I was just salvaged now. Give me a salvage title. But you know what? When I'm going through something, I look down and think about that. For the first month, every time I went around that curve, I kind of, because I remember going around that curve and that car hitting me. And for the first month, every time cars would start getting over in my lane, I'd do like this. And then Bethany, bless her heart, got her permit. And nobody would ride with her but me. And so I said, well, you know what? The best way, that's called repetitive therapy. Repetitive therapy is if you go over something enough, then it becomes common versus fresh. And so when you do repetitive therapy, eventually you can overcome it because now it's not fresh. It is common, and you can help it. So after I let Bethany drive, I got on this side of the road so much and that side of the road so much. Yeah, y'all ought to ride with her. Praise God. All right. So look. So get ready. I'm telling you, she used to have a ringtone on her phone. Her ringtone was the woman singing "Jesus Take the Wheel." Yeah, Carrie Underwood. All right. So now, get ready. We're almost through. I told you I won't keep you long today, but I want you to pay very close attention while I'm getting ready to tell you. All right. This is so important. In your potential to bless others, how many want to be a blessing? All right, get ready. I'm going to tell you something now that you're probably going to think, you know, this is kind of wild. Where are you coming from this? But I want you to watch. When they saw it, they were glad. They saw him. They felt the scars. When they saw it, they were glad. Until they saw it, they were still afraid. You see, the John compares it to childbirth. He says when a woman's in travail at childbirth, she's you know, this is hurting, this is bad stuff. But after she has the baby, now she's got joy. And so watch this, childbirth equals travail, or it's the process. While we're going through the process of what God's doing right now to make us, every last one of us are in a process. Every last one of us are in a pressure cooker. Every last one of us are in the oven. God is molding us and making us and shaping us, every last one of us, how he wants us. And in the process, it's not pleasant. But once we see the product, it's going to bring joy. Once we see what's going to happen over there, it's going to bring joy. So here it is. Ready? Here's what I told you. It's going to be kind of wild. Let's see if I can get it up here. Come on. There you go. Blessing. Now, watch what happened. Here's the order. First, he spoke. When he spoke, secondly, they heard and they saw. Third, they were glad. Let me tell you something. I was talking to one of my family members just a few months ago, and he was telling me that he don't understand why some of his family members didn't feel close to him. He said, every morning, I go out on the gazebo, and didn't say pray, just said think. I go out on the gazebo, and I think about each one of my children. I think about it. And he says, but I don't understand why they don't feel close to me. And so I told him, I said, well, usually when you're talking to them, it's always negative. And it's always got a twist to it. And it seems like they're always wrong. He said, but I think about them every morning. I sit there in that gazebo and I think about them every morning. And I told him this. He says, I don't understand. I think about them. Why are they like this? Here's why I told him what y'all think about this strongly. A blessing withheld. It's just in your head. It never comes out your mouth. A blessing withheld is not a blessing at all. Maybe you ought to go tell them kids, I'm praying for you every day. Instead of, why'd you do that? I can do better than that. Well, why, who told you could do it that way? Blah, 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 blah. Why not do this? Son, I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning. And I'm asking God to bless your life. Wait a minute. I do it every morning. But do they know that? If they don't know it, listen carefully. A blessing withheld can also become a curse. It's important. If you know somebody and you're praying for them, it's important to walk up sometimes. You just go this. Watch. Just walk up and go, look. Just for, look. They might even think. They might be prepared. They may faint. Wake up. Walk up beside your son. Pat him on the back and say, I pray for you every day, buddy. My boys, every day to their life, every day, my kids, every day of their life, they'll get a text message from Dad, not just Mighty Army. They'll get a text message, and it'll say something like, praying for you today, 143, I love you. And about once a week, I send them a text saying, I'm so proud of the godly man you have become. I know your mother will be proud of you. 143. Or, I know it's stressful right now, but it'll be okay because God's got your back and I got your back. 143. Now, I could sit in my gazebo and think about it, and that wouldn't help them one bit. But if they get a text or a call, or I just walk up behind them and put my arm around them and say, I'm praying for you, buddy. I'm here. Do you need me? I'm here. God's got this. That's when it becomes a blessing. But as long as it's just me praying for him, listen, it's withheld and it's not. Look, if Jesus had stayed outside the door, yeah, they're in there in that locked door. If they'd come out and see me, they'd be a whole lot better off. I ain't going in there. They should know better than that. I'd just stay right here. That'll learn them. Guess what happened? They would have never come out of that door. I told that same person, I said, you know what? I said, if I don't hear from my boys in a day or two, I don't just send them a text. I call them. I go by there. I try to find them. I said, because if I don't hear them, I said, when they were little bitty, if I didn't hear them, I know they were up something. And I said, so when I don't hear them now, I know something's happening to them and they need me, and I'll be there. I said, I don't wait for them to talk to me. I talk to them. I go beyond locked doors to get to them. Now, again, I can't stress it enough. This is worth the whole price of admission today. An unspoken blessing is no blessing at all. An unspoken blessing can also become a curse. You got to tell people you're praying for them, you're loving them, you're there for them. They got to hear it. Because when they saw and they heard, they were glad. He said, but it hurts. You know what I also discovered? Is that my point of pain, here it goes again, my point of pain is where healing begins. Some people try to hide it. They try to hide that pain. They try to hide it away from them. And every time somebody tries to bring it back up, here they go again. Here they go. Like my dad walked in my house one day and he said, I don't understand. Why have you still got pictures of Beverly up everywhere? I said, well, I've got my new family is up here in the living room. I said, but over here in the den, I still got pictures of Beverly and still got all this stuff there. I said, so you got my new baby, my grandbabies. As a matter of fact, it's mainly grandbabies, but they're all up here in the living room. But you go over here in another room, and you still see the pictures of Beverly and stuff. And he goes, how do you do that? Doesn't it hurt too bad? And I said, no. I said, it did to start with. I said, but I know that healing starts at the point of pain. If I hide it, then I'm only hiding the remedy. If I hide it, I'm only prolonging the pain. God wants you at your point of pain. That's where he's going to start healing you. And once he starts healing you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to wind up doing something for him, and it's going to be very productive. So watch, I'm almost through. I got one more thing, and then we're gone. Then y'all can go do your Memorial Day stuff. How many's going to have a cookout today? Well, then y'all got another couple hours in, okay. I can bring us one. I'll bring us one out here. We'll all cook out. All right. Your pain, your wounds has the potential to bless others. When they see you, and don't wait for them to come to you, go to them. Remember, An unspoken blessing is no blessing at all. Go to them. If it's somebody in your family, you know they need some help. Don't wait for them to come see me. It makes me so aggravated when somebody tells me, they know where I'm at. But they sure could use some blessing from you. They know where I'm at. If they want to be blessed, let them come see me. All right. So watch this. He said peace. Now, after he said peace, he said it again because he wanted to confirm it. They just, in the Greek, when you want to repeat, when your supper is repeated, it's because they want to make sure you get it. To make sure you got this thing. Listen, I want to set it. I want to fix it. And I want to fix it so that you can go out and do something about it. So first I'm going to fix it. Then I'm going to push you out there and make you go out and do something about it. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I'm walking. I'm talking. Yes, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm sending you. And just in case you say, well, I'm not able, I got that one covered too. The Bible said, watch this, I love it. He breathed on them. He breathed on them. Now, the day of Pentecost was the actual day that the Holy Ghost came upon them. But he breathed on them. Receive you the Holy Ghost. He knew that they weren't going to be able to get beyond those locked doors on their own, that they needed help. And so he said, breathed on them. God is raising up a generation. Matter of fact, you know what I call us? Wounded healers. Wounded healers. You've been through something, and now God's going to take what you've been through. He's going to do something special. You can trust him. So now we're ready. Here it is. All the walls we build, all the doors we lock, can't lock out the pain. You got to let Jesus in. And once Jesus gets in, he'll empower you to go to somebody else behind locked doors that's trying to hide it, trying to deal with the pain, and they can't. Again, I can't say this enough. Y'all have heard me say this a million times. We're sitting in the house. Mom had already lived a lot longer than they said she would. The doctor said, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why she's still living. She shouldn't be. You've stopped dialysis. You've done all the things she said she wanted to do to make it quicker, and it's not happening. We don't understand. She just keeps hanging around. We don't understand. There's no logical reason why she's alive. And so we're there. And while we're there, I had some of my well-meaning preacher friends. I do mean well-meaning. They were, bless God for them. Thank God for them. They would call me and say, look, brother, how you doing? How you holding up? My God, I tell them. And then they would start telling me stuff. And honestly, I could tell you what book they were looking in, what chapter, and what paragraph. And I'd say, fellas, you know, it's really nice that you're trying to help me, but mama could die at any moment. If you don't mind, I'll call you later. I just need to get up with her right now. And I'd walk out and I'd hang up. I'd go out to the bedroom and go back and sit with mama. But then there was this one guy called me, and he said, can I talk to you? This guy, the year before, had gone to see his daddy for Christmas. Why he'd gone to see his daddy for Christmas. He drove a couple hours to get to his daddy. On the way back home to his church, his daddy unexpectedly had a heart attack and died before he could get back to him. He turned around, went to the house, dealt with that, and did what he had to do, even preached his daddy's funeral. He called me up and said, David, can I talk to you? And when I heard his voice, just hearing his voice, brought peace. Just hearing his voice. The other guys, when they talked, honestly, it irritated me. Because they were just trying to, they meant well. But they still had their mama. They still had their daddy. They were going to just kind of try to give me some book knowledge. But when this guy spoke, called me up and talked to me, just hearing his voice and knowing what he went through brought peace immediately. And I said, talk to me. And he started talking to me about what happened when his daddy and how he felt. And you know what? And then I felt kind of bad because I never really asked him. I never had asked him how it felt when his daddy died. And yet he's calling me. And he's concerned with me about my mama and how I'm feeling. And so we wound up talking for like an hour. And when we hung up the phone, I had strength and I had peace that I did not have before this guy talked to me. Did it change the situation? No. Did my mama still die? Yes. But did I feel different? Yes. Matter of fact, after he talked to me, I think it was that night or the night after. I'd been preaching. That night I went to go preach. I come back, I was spending the night with mama like I'd been doing. And I was standing with mama, and I was right by her bed, and she had not spoken in a couple of days. And mama turned around, and she started talking to me. And she hadn't spoken in a couple of days. And I said, are you talking to me, mama? She said, yes. And she said something else that was very unclear. But after talking with that guy, it gave me the strength to do what I had to do. I know my mama wouldn't let go. It was me. Just the day before, I said, mama, you can beat this. Let's beat it together. I'd been her faith partner all this time. My mama had lost her legs, her eyes, her heart, her kidneys. Everything was just shutting down. There was no way to have a point. I mean, they already said she wouldn't live 2 months because it was just so bad. I looked over at mama and I said, mama, I know God can. But it looked like he's going to. Mama, it's okay. It's okay with me. If you want to go, it's okay with me. You can go. And she quit talking. She turned back around, never said another word. A couple hours later, I left. And as soon as I got to where I was going, I get a phone call. Your mama died. Now, what gave me the strength to do that and what helped me to hold up during all of that was God, ultimately, and some other phone calls from another guy who lost his parents. But I'm just saying is that there was two guys at that time. But this guy calling me up, and because I knew what he had been through, his voice didn't irritate me. It brought peace. Now, let me ask you a question. You may know somebody right now that's going through what you just went through. Or you may know somebody that's gone through something similar. And you're afraid to talk to them. You're afraid you'll make it worse. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for the Holy Ghost, power and anointing. Don't go on your own. Go led by God. But go knock on that locked door. Knock on that locked door. Because you may be the one that God will use to give them strength to do what they need to do. Let's all stand. You see, all the walls we build, all the doors we lock, can't lock out the pain, but we can let Jesus use our pain. We can let Jesus use our pain. I was riding down the road yesterday morning, and I was driving Linda's truck, which is an old S10. No radio, no air conditioning. It was hot, had the window rolled down. I'm riding down, I went to pick a washing machine from my father-in-law, and I'm riding. And I was already kind of aggravated with no air conditioning, no radio, nothing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, can we talk? I got your attention. Can we talk? Yes, we can talk, Lord. And then he went down about five or six or seven things that I had been facing with myself or with others or in the family or somebody else, but like the top seven things. And he said, how long has it been since you thanked me for these seven things? And I said, Lord, I haven't thanked you for any of them because they hurt. And he said, you're preaching on the power of your wounds. Let me ask you again. How long has it been since you thanked me for this hurt? And right there, I just started thanking God for the hurt. I thanked him for all those. I named them off, and I started thanking God for the hurt. And I said, Lord, I know what you're doing is you're building a message. I don't know what it is, but you're building a message of hope. And I'm going to thank you for it. Then later on that day, I'm riding down the road again. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, how long has it been since you thanked me for the pain? And so I did it again. And then last night, one more time, I even kind of complained because I was getting tired. And I said, Lord, why do we have to keep doing this, this, this? And the Lord went, David, can we talk? How long has it been since you thanked me for the pain? Our wounds are more powerful than you ever could imagine. If you're behind a locked door, you need to get out of it. If you've gotten out of the locked door, don't sit around and wait for others to come to you if they're behind the locked door, because they're not going to do it. They're locked behind that door because they're afraid to step out. You got to go to them, but you got the key. Trust God to use your pain, to use your wounds to help others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. During this message, when I was talking about the pain and our own personal pain and not even wanting to be around it, much less have to deal with it, but here we are. And we're behind that locked door, and the acorn looks like an oak tree. If I was speaking and it resonated with you, not trying to pull you out, not trying to point you out, I just want to know so I can pray with you right where you're at. Just between you and me and God, nobody else looking around. If you have some unexplained pain, if you find yourself locked behind the door, shutting everybody else out, you find yourself looking at an acorn. Everybody sees the acorn, but you see the oak tree, and you're needing God to help you with it. Well, nobody's looking around. I just want to know so I can pray with you. If I'm speaking to you this morning, would you put that hand up? Put it up. Go ahead. Nobody knows but you and me. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, it's something that we're all learning, every last one of us, including me. Learning how to let the guard down, to let somebody in that's been there, that's got the key, that can show us, yes, I did survive. Yes, I made it through this. I am alive. I've got scars, but I'm alive. It hurts, but I'm alive. I may limp, but I'm alive. I may walk funny. I may sound funny now, but I'm alive. And you can be too if you trust God. Let that person in. And or if you're the one trying, if you're sitting here and you're out of that locked door, or God's getting you out of that locked door now today, ask God to help you to find somebody hurting. And you take that key and go unlock somebody else's door. Don't sit and wait for them to come to you. That ain't going to happen. They're behind locked doors. You have to go to them. Bless them, Lord. Anoint them. Let them feel freedom. Let them feel peace. Let them feel that fresh breath of your Holy Spirit, which brings comfort first, then it brings power. Comfort, then power. And I thank you for it. If you're here this day and you need God to do something for you, period, whatever it may be, I invite you right now to come. All that will, let's just come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Spend a few minutes talking to Him. All that will, come and pray. Don't let this day go by without praying. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my, sing it, soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. You know what? One of the great things about Emmaus is, and I know it's God, when they decide who's going to be doing the 15 talks, they get together and they pray about it. Y'all can be seated. They get together and they pray about it. Just a few of us, we get together and pray. And after we pray about it, they put people in certain areas and they give them a skeleton of just what has to be covered, just a skeleton. So everybody does the same. Every time they go to Emmaus, everybody gets, when it talks about justifiable faith, it talks about justifying them. It talks about prevenient faith or grace, then it's talking about stuff that happened before. But all it is they just give you like y'all guys that's ever preached, I'll give you a little outline and say, here, take this outline, and y'all put your own meat on it. But that's what they do. They just put a little bitty skeleton and tell you to put your meat on it. And every time, without fail, the people that they use, whether we knew it or not, it winds up, their pain winds up being in that sermon and how they overcome that pain. And I watch the guys as they're listening, and I see how God just keeps bam, 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 bam. And it's an amazing thing. My son-in-law was in Emmaus, and he was sitting at a table in front of me, and I was one of the spiritual directors, and I was sitting back, and I was watching him. And in a matter of 2 years, his daddy drowned. He was a fisherman. He got caught up in the nets and drowned. Then his brother, who was only like a couple years older than him, woke up with a bad headache. The next couple of days was dead with a stroke. Then his other brother, who was retarded, very severely retarded, had gone to the post office, to the not South Beach, what's that beach? Pamlico Beach. His mama lived way out from anybody. His mama took his brother, who was in his 30s but can't do anything, and carried him with her to go check the mail. She had a stroke and fell in the ditch and stayed there overnight. And the only reason they knew something was wrong is because that boy would just sit there on the street and wouldn't move. And the post lady come by and saw that boy on the street and come see what was wrong. He was sitting there by his mama. She died. So in a matter of 2 years, his brother died of a stroke, his daddy died a tragic death in fishing, and his mama laid out there all night long, in her 70s, laid out there all night long in a ditch. And the doctor told him that he was suffering from PTSD. He sits in front of me, and every time I listen to those guys do their thing, their personal pain always came back to him. And I remember, I was there when he broke. It just broke. And I was right there for him. I grabbed him. We cried and we cried and we cried. But he left a better man, because he had 15 different sermons and messages, and they all struck him at the point of his pain. God wants to use your pain to bless somebody else. Let him. Go past the door. Ask God to help you get the oak tree out of the way. See the acorn. Put it in your pocket. And let God use you. Amen? Amen. Brother Keith, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?